thank you all for the opportunity to share some Divrei Torah. Baruch Hashem, the last few years that I have the schus to come and be here for a week or so, I get a tremendous chizuk from seeing what's happening in the Beis Medrash, what's happening in the yeshiva, and it's a wonderful Mokum Torah, and a place where there's a lot of growth as B'nai Torah in Avodas Hashem, and I thought perhaps that maybe we would talk for a few minutes about that topic. 3 weeks ago in the Kriyas HaTorah, we read the Pasuk, Ki Asher Ve'isem Es Mitzrayim Hayom Lo Tosifu Le'osam Od Ad Olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells B'nai Yisrael not to worry. It's true that the army is advancing and they seem to be threatening you. Not to worry. Asher Yisem Es Mitzrayim Hayom, you're not going to see them again. This is the last time you're going to see them. So the Pshut Lashon Mikra seems to be that this is just a hatocha. It's a promise. It's an assurance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's gonna kill them. They're gonna drown in Yam Suf, and you're not gonna ever be threatened by them again. Ramban quotes in the Chilta that says that this isn't only a hatocha, but it's a mitzvah lasase, and that this is one of three places where the Torah prohibits us from retracing our steps and going back to the Mitzrayim. So Mitzvah lasase. So Mitzvah pshuta, Alpi halacha. This is one of the places where the Torah, according to Chazal, where the Torah tells us we're not supposed to go live in Mitzrayim. Okay, there's different the Yumim and the Rishonim. What exactly the specifics? What the parameters of this Issa are, but that's what it is with the Pshuta, and that's the Din. Well, what does it represent, Alder HaGoda, this love of Lo Tosifu Le'osam Od Ad Olam, this love of not going back to Mitzrayim? So the Mishnah Tzachim says, when we quote it as part of the Hagada, that b'chol dov v'do chai v'odom le'os es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotzum in Mitzrayim. It's an unusual emphasis of b'chol dov v'do. It doesn't say anywhere that b'chol dov v'do is chai v'odom l'haniach tefillin and le'achol matzah and l'hispa'ol b'chol yom. If you tell me something's a mitzvah, so then I understand it's b'chol dov v'do. A mitzvah is mitzvah, a mitzvah is eternal, unless we're told differently, unless we're told that it's Ahura Shah. So why does the Mishnah emphasize in this context the Chol Dov Vado? So what is Chai Vodim Leos Atzma Kilo Yatsum in Mitzrayim? So let's say in 6 weeks or so, in Yitzhak Hashem, we'll try to be mekayim that mitzvah. Not so simple, but we'll try to be mekayim that mitzvah. So what does it mean that we should imagine ourselves living a few thousand years ago, and we should feel Pesach night like we're about to that we're leaving Mitzrayim and that we're on our way towards Yam Suf and that we've got all these heavy bags with bizas and mitzrayim that we're carrying? Well, no. I see myself where I happen to be. Where I happen to be if I live in New Jersey, if that's where I'm spending Pesach, I see myself in New Jersey. Alamai, I don't feel as though I've lived my whole life in New Jersey. I feel like just now I was taken out of Mitzrayim and left Mitzrayim and I find myself in New Jersey. So the pashtus is that it certainly means the latter. So it means that b'chol dov do chayiv adam leos es atzmo b'mokom shehu ba'asher hu sham ki'ilu hu yotzem in Mitzrayim. If that's the case, so then the question arises, how does this mitzvah make sense? Or what does this mitzvah mean? Or what did it mean during certain tkufis in Jewish history? What did it mean during the Spanish Inquisition? were they really better off than they had been in Mitzrayim? Whatever the answer to that question is, it's clear what the answer is when the Jews were celebrating with tremendous mesiras nefesh the Seder in Auschwitz or Treblinka. So what's the Okay, so if I find myself in the safety and the comfort of where I live in the United States, where I'm spending Pesach, alachas kam v'kam in Eretz Yisrael, that's like a basis for chayav l'sichach anachnu chayav mahodos lahala. But if Rachmana l'slan, the way it happened 65 years ago, so Jews found themselves in the concentration camp. So what were they thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? How was that Chayav Adam Leosis Atzmo a basis for Hodah? So Lahora, before we try to figure out what the answer to that question is, Lahora, that's what the Mishnah is coming to counter, right? The Mishnah is coming to counter that Hava Amina. Don't make that Cheshvin. Don't make that calculation and reach that conclusion. It's wrong. But the mitzvah is there. But what taka is the answer then? So the answer clearly is what it says in so many of the Sfarim, that the ikar of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not the political redemption, was not the geula seinu in a political sense, but the pedus nafshenu. But was the spiritual transformation which happened when we left Mitzrayim. But that's the ikar, that's the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was the Pidus Nafshenu, again, the spiritual transformation. That spiritual transformation, no matter if, Rachmana Litzlan, politically, things ever would, again, the circumstances of Mitzrayim would be duplicated or even worse, but we would always be better off and we would always have basis lahodos lahala lefa'er because of kiilu hu yotza atam mishibud Mitzrayim, that in Mitzrayim, again, we were enslaved not only physically but spiritually as well. Having left Mitzrayim, so then we came out with a capacity that no matter what the physical circumstances would be, to always be free, again, in a spiritual sense, in terms of ruchnius, and to always be able to make, if we only draw upon that strength, if we only cultivate that capacity, to always maintain our emun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was the ikar of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Was this, again, transformation in Ruchnius, this capacity for Emunah, this coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So with that in mind, so let's revisit again what we asked, Al Derech HaGadol, what's pshat in this love that the Ramban is quoting from the Mechilta of Ki Asher Re'isem Es Mitzrayim Hayom Rosso Sifo Rosso Modat Olam. So again, Talpi Halacha, it means not to book a flight on Air Egypt. What does it mean, Al Derech HaGadol? So l'chora Al Derech HaGadol, what it means is this: that many times in a person's life, a person has a certain hisaurus. A person spends time. It may be a short period of time. It may be a Shabbos somewhere. It may be you go and here in Eretz Yisrael, the opportunities, Baruch Hashem, are many and great. You go here, Divrei Torah, from one of the Chachmei Yerushalayim, Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, and the person has a certain hisaurus. A person derives a certain inspiration. A person gains a certain clarity. He sees things with a clarity that he never had before in terms of what's important in life, what's not really important in life. what enduring in life, what's ephemeral, what when he'll be older in 10, 20, 50, 60 years from now, he'll want to be able to look back on and see that he accomplished over the course of his lifetime. So a person can have, again, he gains a certain clarity. Perhaps consciously or unconsciously, but he moved forward. He moved out of Mitzrayim. But Elamai, whenever you move out, even Ezra asked a kasha in that same parsha. He says, why was the Bnei Yisrael so frightened? So Enochanami Taro is Taka coming with his soldiers. I don't know if we know the exact account of how many men Taro had with him, but Lechora, he was vastly outnumbered by Klal Yisrael was Shishim Riba. So they certainly would have had the upper hand in any battle. So what were they afraid of? So Ibn Ezra says, because they were in a new situation, so they were afraid. They were afraid in a new situation. So the same way that's true, and that's a very natural reaction, right? We're often afraid of the unknown, and there's a very definite comfort level in that which we're used to, in that which we're accustomed to. And often there is, and this again is this factor doesn't always play itself out consciously. Sometimes it's operating more on the subconscious level, on the unconscious level, than on the conscious level. But sometimes when we have, again, it may be a moment, it may be a Shabbos, it may be an hour, it may build up over the course of several continuous months in yeshiva, we have a certain clarity, a certain behirus, again, about life, what life's about, what we're here to accomplish, what we can accomplish that will be meaningful, that we'll take with us. But to follow through on that, a person has to affect certain changes. A person has to go where he hasn't been before. And that's scary. It's a scary thing. All my life, I've sort of been oriented to a certain goal. I've been tracked since preschool. Certain goal. If I get extra tutoring and putting my crayons in order, that's going to give me a head start in the competition. And ultimately, I'll have an inside track on becoming the CEO because of that. I'm used to that. Or it might be that I'm used to, again, it's not so much that I've been on a certain track in terms of where I'm going professionally, but maybe I've been on, I've had a certain lifestyle. Certain lifestyle with a certain heightened, what I now recognize is a heightened level of gashmius, far more than would seem to be necessary to be devoting oneself to Avodas Hashem. And now I realize, again, after I heard that Musa Shmuz from one of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, or after I spent the Shabbos b'mchitzaso shel, I don't know, one of the rebbes, or after, again, time spent in yeshiva and learning, and now I see, no, that what's real, tamu u, a life devoted to Torah, to mitzvot avodas Hashem, and that life will be compromised by my maintaining that same indulgent lifestyle that I've had until now. But it's frightening to contemplate change, because we're used to it. And the teva of people is that what we're used to, we're comfortable with, and it's a frightening thing to change. So comes the Torah and says, Ki asher ve'isem, if a person's going to move forward, he's going to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then in one's Avodas Hashem, we have to be able to overcome that fear. We have to, if we're ready to take the next step, so then we have to do it, the fear notwithstanding. Whatever appropriate changes, again, the changes have to be appropriate. Person can't do too much, too fast. It can boomerang. But whatever's appropriate, whatever's realistic, we can't be deterred because of the fear. We can't choose to react and say, Nitno Rosh v'nashuva mitzrayma, that let's reverse directions and let's sort of forget about that clarity which we attained while we were in yeshiva. Let's let that sort of gradually wear off, and let's sort of pick up with our old habits and associations which weren't necessarily informed by these understandings. So the Torah says we have to be able to overcome that fear. And the reason we need such an azor is because the fear is very real. It's very real that in order to transition to the next stage, whatever that is, each person, Basher Husham, each person, depending upon where he's holding, that determines what the next stage is. But for everyone, it's not uncommon, again, that there's some kind of fear, whether conscious or subliminal, because we're comfortable with that which we're used to. And the thought of, you know, that Shabbos I had was so wonderful, but does that mean I'm never going to sit around on Shabbos and, you know, just get together with my friends and schmooze Dvarim B'Teilim? You know, that's what I'm used to, and that's the basis for so much of my friendship, is the fact that we, you know, every Shabbos afternoon we get together and we talk about Dvarim Shel Mabachach. But now I'm really gonna taste it. What a Shabbos was, when the entire Shabbos was devoted to Torah and to Tefillah and to the Seder Shabbos with the Zmiros. But how am I gonna reconfigure all my friendships, and can I really handle that kind of devotion to trying to make Shabbos on my own turf the same way it was on the Rebbe's turf? So we're afraid of it, and it's a very natural reaction. So comes the Torah and says, "Asher Yisem Es Mitzrayim Hayom Lo Sosifu L'Rosam Od Olam." In both sense of the word, it's an azhora, but it's also a havtocha, because Haboli Torah Messiah also. If a person undertakes to do it, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, again, it's azhora and havtocha. It's a mitzvah lo-sasei, but simultaneously it's also a promise, it's an assurance, it's a guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us make that change, will help us in that transition. Again, the change has to be the right one. It has to be realistic. It has to be the right thing for the person. And sometimes it can be clear. Sometimes maybe we'll need to be misya'et with our rabbeim as to am I doing too much, too quickly if I undertake this change? Is this change appropriate for me? But if after the consultation it's clear that it is, so then the Torah says that we have to try to overcome that natural fear. Another very important yesod, again, which doesn't certainly not initially, that doesn't come so naturally, but is also necessary, again, to try to live a life of growth in Avodas Hashem, and continuous growth, is the need to try to be consistent. If I have a Kriyas Eitan, whatever the Kriyas Eitan is, in terms of set hours, in terms of a chok kotzur that Shulchan Aruch talks about, I have a certain amount that I learn every day. Maybe it's a Mishnah Yom, maybe it's Daf Yom, maybe it's the Luach Hayomi in terms of Hilchos Lashon Hara in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, whatever it is, but to try to maintain that kriyas with consistency. There is a absolutely remarkable Gemara at the end of Brachas. It's an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person Kol Yomav is Kari Kriya Shema Shachas V'Aruch, Kol Yomav, imagine he's 80 years old. So Kol Yomav is a long time. It's a long time. Doesn't seem quite as long to me as it seems to you, but to everyone it seems like a long time. And then once, lo kara, okay. So what should the end of the sentence be? You messed up. You got all the questions right in the test, and then you sort of let your guard down, and you were sloppy on one answer. Okay, so you messed up your 100. You otherwise would have had a perfect score on the test, and you messed that up. There goes your 4.0. So the Gemara says, no, if a person reads Kriya Shema Shachas V'Aruch his whole life, and once doesn't, it's ki'ilu he never read Kriya Shema. How can that be? How can that be? Once, I didn't say Kriya Shema. Ki'ilu, I never read Kriya Shema. So I heard once, I think B'Shem of Aaron Kotler, it could be that this is printed in the Mishnah of Aaron, or the Sichus Musa, I'm not sure, that Aaron Kotler said, gave the following shot. Maybe I'll just hopefully not call it Moshev Gorei, just give a moshel as an introduction to Aaron's shot. Let's say you have a person who's two people. One of them is mildly allergic to peanuts, and the other one is strongly, violently allergic to peanuts. Ad kedei kach that the allergic reaction, achmana litzlan, could be so strong that it would be a potential sakanas nefashos. We would probably expect, right, if we ask, do we think that either of these two people is going to be prone to perhaps forgetting, being distracted from their allergy, and they'll be at a smorgasbord at a wedding, and they won't notice that there were slivers of peanuts in some dish. So is that likely to happen to both? So I think we would say that the first guy who has a mild allergy might very well be susceptible to that happening, because it's not so important to him. It's not such a central fact or focus in his life, because it's not such a big deal. Okay, so his skin turns red a little bit, his face, and whatever else is associated with it, it's not so terrible. The person for whom ingesting peanuts, rachmana litzlan, is life-threatening. So it's hard to imagine that he's ever going to get distracted. It's the kind of it's the kind of fact which is just embedded in his consciousness, sort of like whatever you have, whatever icons you have when you open up the computer, it's always there on the screen. Others you have to sort of bring up, but some icons are always there. Some things are embedded in our consciousness. They're just so central to who we are, to what we are, to our concerns, that we can't be distracted from them. The person who has this violent allergy, Rahman al-Islam, to peanuts, he's not going to get distracted. It doesn't matter if he's seeing relatives, friends, he hasn't seen for ages at the wedding, he's not going to get distracted. So says of Aaron Kotler, he says, if once I don't say Kriya Shema, it says something about every other Kriya Shema that I ever did say. It says something, meaning it's not I get a zero on the test. I don't get a zero on the test. Lamaisa, I did say Kriya Shema every other time. But Lamaisa, it does shed light, and not a positive one, on every other Kriya Shema I said. Was Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, was that the central reality of my life? Well, no, it was a little bit off-center. How far off-center? How far out of the periphery? Don't know. But it was a little bit off-center in terms of being the central or defining reality of my life, because if it were, then I couldn't have forgotten. I couldn't have forgotten even once. Again, we're not talking about a place a person's under anesthesia or something before or after the surgery. He forgets. So what do we see? That in terms of trying to develop consistency, and it's an avoda, again, it doesn't happen overnight. Nothing happens overnight. It's something that we're always working on, and a person shouldn't be disappointed, shouldn't be discouraged, shouldn't be down on himself if it doesn't materialize overnight. But in terms of trying to develop consistency, besides the obvious point of trying to discipline ourselves, to always get up when the alarm clock rings so that we make it to Minyan, and we don't have to miss out on Tefillah v'Tzibur, to always keep track what time breakfast is supposed to be over and the Seder begins. Besides the obvious just effort to impose a discipline on ourselves, consistency comes from being machshev something. If we ascribe enough importance, enough chashivos to something, so then the consistency becomes something, again, natural. And the more we internalize, the more we feel, the more we're aware of the chashivos of what we're doing, of what we're involved in, so then the more natural the consistency becomes, again, with the goal, ultimately, of the same way this person with the severe allergies is totally consistent in his precautions, in his being careful, so too, we have to have that same chashivus of what it means to come to shul, what it means to answer an omen, what it means to learn a single halacha, halachas kama v'kama, a whole morning seder. If we're aware of the chashivus, so then that propels a person. It doesn't matter how hungry the guy with the allergies is at the smorgasbord, he checks to see whether there's peanuts. But also, it doesn't matter, yeah. But if only I don't lose sight of the chashivas that I know that learning has, chashivas that I know that chesed has, the chashivas that I know that davening has, then that's going to push me to be consistent. And I won't only have to rely on sort of just imposing a discipline from without on myself, but I'm going to naturally feel it. I'm going to naturally want it. just read you a few in Hebrew translation, a few one or two, maybe three Zohars that the Chofetz Chaim quotes in Shmiras HaLoshon in Shar HaTorah. Kama ahuva haTorah lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How beloved is Torah before Hashem? Shekova oseg baTorah ohuv hu lamala v'ohuv hu lamata. A person who's oseg, who's immersed, who's preoccupied with Divrei Torah, he's beloved above and beloved below here as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshev l'divurav, he always has an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'eino ozo ba'olam hazeh, ve'eino ozo ba'olam haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never abandoned such a person. Ashreihem Yisrael, how fortunate Bnei Yisrael are, Shakadosh Baruch Hu bachar bohem mikol ha'amin. Shakadosh Baruch Hu chose us from all the nations. Umei ahavoso osam nosu mohem toras emes ladaz darko shel hamelach hakodosh. And from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, out of His love for us, He gave us the Torah that we should know Hakadosh Baruch Hu's ways. B'kol ha'osek v'atorah. When a person is preoccupied, when he's immersed in Torah, so he's preoccupied with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehatorah kula shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the entire Torah, again, consists, if only we would know how to see the breaks in the letters, Shehatorah kula shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is comprised of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should osek b'Torah kilu osek b'shmo. One last one. Rabbi Yehuda Pasach v'Ona, this is again all in Shmiras HaLoshon Shar HaTorah Perek Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Pasach v'Ona, Toras Hashem Tamim M'Mashivas Nacha. Right? The Pasach that we say in the Shabbos Dekah Sukei Dezimna. Kama yesh lohem levnei ha'odam lasak b'Torah. How much we should realize how great is the mitzvah, the opportunity, the bracha, the responsibility of being osek b'Torah. Shekol mi she'osek b'Torah yi lo chayim ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba. V'zolche b'shnei olamos. Person will have merit in this world and in Olam Haba. Afilu misha osek b'Torah ve'ena osek b'al l'shma karo'oi. Even if a person's not holding on a madrega, how many people are? Even if a person's not holding on a madrega where he's not mislearning Torah l'shma. Nevertheless, zocha v'socha tov olam haza ve'en donan osa b'olam haba. He still merits tremendous power in this world, and again, is treated very differently in Olam Haba. Shenishmasa holeches lehistaleg loshavim koma. When the neshama leaves the world to return to its place above, he holeches, the Torah proceeds lifnei osa haneshama. Bekamon sheorim nishborim milifnei haTorah. And how many gates which would otherwise perhaps impede the neshama give way before the Torah, which is the advance parody for the person. Ad she'olah l'mkoma, until the neshama reaches its rightful place. So if we could try not to lose sight again of the chashivos that we know, not something we don't know, something we know, but it's something that we haven't sufficiently internalized, and because of that we can be distracted by so many other things. But if only we can keep sight of this, again, recognizing that chashivus, again, as in the Baron's Pshat in the Gemara, wouldn't allow us to miss a Kriya Shema, and it won't allow us to to squander opportunities for Talmud Torah. That's the goal, again, on the way. It's not as if we won't have setbacks. It's not as if we're not going to stumble. But that's the avoda. That's what that's the type of consistency that we're striving for. Maybe just one last observation in terms of how to have a life of continuous growth in Avodas Hashem. So far we spoke about overcoming that natural fear which we have. We spoke about the need to try to develop a consistency in our Avodas Hashem, whether through discipline or through contemplating the chashivus of that with which we're involved. And finally, another Gemara, very close to the previous one we mentioned, at the end of Brachos, I think Rashi quotes it in the Perush al HaTorah, Chazal comment on the juxtaposition of Parshas Nozir to Parshas Sota. In Parshas Nozir, the first the Torah has a description of the Sota, of the adulteress, and the humiliation, and the degradation, and the horrible death that she suffers. And after that, the Torah tells us the Parsha of Nazirus. Again, perhaps the most salient part of Nazirus is the fact that a Nazir doesn't drink wine. So Chazal comments that what the Smichus of Parsha is about is to tell if the Kol HaRoa Sota V'Kulkula is Yazir Atzo Min HaYayin, that anyone who happened to be in the Beis HaMikdash and witnessed this terrible, terrible ordeal of the Sota, of the adulteress, what should his reaction be? His reaction should be to accept upon himself a Ned and a Zirut. Why? Because Chazal are assuming that in all likelihood what led this woman to sin, she was probably intoxicated. And we all know that when a person drinks, so then a person loses his inhibitions, and most of us, it's good that we're inhibited in certain ways. In certain ways, it's not good to be inhibited, but in other ways, it's very good and very healthy to be inhibited. Something to keep in mind in a couple of weeks from now. So Chazal say that Kol HaRoa Sota V'Kulkula is Yazir Atzo Min HaYayin. So the Shem Yishmuel, the Sachet Sheva Rebbe, asked the following kasha. He says, no, should have been Kol Mishaloga Sota V'Kulkula Yazir Atzo Min HaYayin. A person who's never witnessed the dangers of drink, so then he needs this artificial control or discipline that he shouldn't drink. But a person who's witnessed Sota V'Kulkula, he doesn't need a Nez and a Zirus. He has the memory of that experience. So what if he doesn't need a Nez and a Zirus? The other guy who wasn't there in the Beis HaMikdash, he needs the Nez and a Zirus. Remember when I took driver's ed, I don't know if they still do it now, so they used to show a movie, and they used to show scenes of car crashes, of car accidents, and what can result from drunk driving. To try again that seeing those images of just what the consequences can be of drinking and driving, to try to impress upon people what a dangerous thing it is to do. So seeing something is a powerful deterrent. So what do you need the Yazir Atzo Min HaYayin? So says the Shem Yishmuel, he says Chazal here are providing us with a tremendous insight, again, into human nature. No matter how powerful an experience, no matter how vivid an experience, gradually it wears off. When one is in the throes of the experience, it's so powerful we can't ever imagine that it's ever going to recede. We can't ever imagine that it's going to wane. Sort of like it's the same deceptiveness, the same deceptive feeling that when you finish learning something and you understand it very well, you understand it so well you can't ever remember forgetting it. And by next week, one realizes how much of a mistake that was. It doesn't matter how well I understand the Vishasamaya, I have to reinforce it. If I don't reinforce it, it's gonna slip through my fingers. Says the Shem Yishmur, Chazal are telling us, a person has a tremendous, tremendous sense, whether in the case of Haroa Sota B'Kukula, of how dangerous it is to drink, or it can be that a person has a tremendous, again, sense of his auras, of how wonderful a Shabbos can be. If a person doesn't, while still feeling that experience, doesn't make a Kabbalah, he doesn't consolidate that experience by figuring out how practically am I going to translate this, am I going to integrate this into my life, what am I doing? I saw a Sota V'Kukula, I saw how dangerous the drink, now what am I going to do, how am I going to translate that, what am I going to integrate into my life to ensure that I don't lose the benefit of that lesson as this experience gradually becomes less and less vivid. So Haroa Sota V'Kukula is Yatra Atzmo Min Hayayim. So too, most, maybe all, people, we have times of Hesodus. Times of Hesodus. I remember once, many years ago, we spent Shavuos in Yeshiva. And David Lifshitz, Zechon Lezacha, spoke Bein Mincha L'Mayu, first night Shavuos. And David, remember, he said the following. He said that sometimes people have important decisions to make in life. He says, if you have an important decision, so you want to make it when you'll have clarity. Let's say you have an important decision to make and you're mamish exhausted. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, I'll decide tomorrow. I'm not going to decide now when I'm half asleep and I can't think things through well. I'll decide tomorrow. Okay. So you wanna make decisions when you have the most clarity. David says, if you have a decision to make, he suggests that you make that decision between Mincha and Ne'ilah. Wait for Yom Kippur. Between Mincha and Ne'ilah, when you're getting ready for Ne'ilah, so think about that important decision you have to make in your life, and make the decision then. But then you have a tremendous clarity. Then, even when the clarity fades, but you're left with that decision. You're left with that decision that you made when you had the moment of clarity. That's the same thing as basically what the Shem Yishmur is saying. The Roa Sota V'Kukula had a tremendous clarity. So while, and eventually, if he doesn't do anything, it's gonna gradually fade away. That's human nature. But before that happens, a person has to figure out, so what am I gonna do with it? What am I gonna take away from this experience, and again, and incorporate into my life? Again, it has to be the right thing. A person has to know that he's not doing too much. It has to be the right thing. Often it's going to be a good idea to consult with your Rebbe and what that should be. But it needs to be something. It has to be something. It can't just be, oh, I'm inspired and I'm going to live with this inspiration. No, what does that mean practically? What does it mean, halacha l'maaseh? I know that I learned for the first time in my life while I was in yeshiva that davening is important. Okay, l'maaseh, what am I going to do about that? What does that mean, l'maaseh? Does it mean that I'm being mekabel upon myself to always arrive at davening 10 minutes before davening starts, so I can make hachonis, and that I can govern slowly and think about what I'm saying. What does it mean, Lamaisa? I discovered how, when I was in yeshiva, the mesikos of Torah, how sweet Torah is, I'm always going to live with that. Okay, what does that mean, Lamaisa? What does it mean, Lamaisa? Does it mean that everything should be bli nezer, obviously, that we shouldn't be nichshal ba'avon nedarim? But what is it? What am I being mekabel upon myself? I'm being mekabel upon myself. Again, it has to be realistic, but I have to be mekabel something on myself, because otherwise, again, that taste of the mesikos of Torah, when you finish eating the ice cream, so you still have the taste in your mouth. Eventually, the taste is received, right? 6 hours later, after the tam basar is gone, you can eat milchiks again. The tam, the taste eventually recedes. The taste of the sweetness of Torah, if I don't, again, figure out while I still feel that taste, what am I going to do? Okay, so what does it mean that I'm going to now live my life in light of this discovery? So I have to know what that means. Am I being mekabel upon myself? What Seder HaLimud am I committing myself to? Is realistic for me to ensure that I'm going to maintain that pace and that it isn't going to recede? And kahena v'kahena, in every area, when a person again has that moment of clarity, has that time, that year or years of clarity, how am I going to maintain it? We can't be afraid to do it, Rabbi Osai. We'll feel the fear, but we have to overcome it. We can't give in to that fear. We have to try again not to lose sight of the importance of what it is, and that will help drive the consistency. And then we have to find what are the appropriate kabbalists, what's the appropriate way to incorporate this into our lives.